Welcome to the Court Report. I am Jerry Price. I'm here with Princeton women's basketball coach Courtney Bankhart. And coach, welcome.
I'm glad to be here, Jerry.
So before we actually turn the microphones on here, we were talking about what we like about lacrosse. Maybe we should start there. So
sure.
You were saying about you like the fact that people play at both ends.
Yeah.
And on the men's side, there's going to be more of that now with the rule changes. But
yeah.
Did you ever play lacrosse?
No, we didn't even have it. I'm from, obviously, southern New Hampshire. Didn't have it when I was growing up.
Yeah, we didn't have it when I grew up either. We're by the Jersey Shore. It wasn't there. I mean, it's there now, but it wasn't there when I was a kid. But, you know, we talk about this a lot. Like, it's famous how Bill Tierney learned a lot from Pete Carril when he first got here and talked to him a lot. I mean, are there things that you can take from lacrosse that you...
You know, I think actually it's probably, people say that they're really similar. I don't know the sport well enough. I don't see it. Like they say, it's just like you're the same. The ride is like a fast break in a transition game. And, you know, but yet your inbounder, all the offense that happens from behind the basket or behind the net, well, our inbounder can't move. So I don't see the similarity. I don't know the sport. Well,
I think where it started with Bill was when they were locking off. We had a guy named Kevin Lowe, who's in the Hall of Fame, and they locked him off behind the goal or locked him off somewhere. And then they would play 5-on-5 above the goal. And I think that's where he got Pete involved. What about hockey? They have that in southern New Hampshire.
Yeah, we do have that. Both my brother and my father played college hockey. It's, you know, I like the fluidity of, I like the sports that are fluid. And, you know, lacrosse probably more so than hockey. Even you're playing both ends over a longer distance. I'm just like you, I'm a sports fan.
So, I mean, when you look at basketball as a sport of basketball and you break it down to its most basic components, do you see a lot of those components in other sports? I mean, there's obviously things very unique to basketball.
Yep.
You know, one of the things that you take for granted in basketball is that's, you know, like when you score a basket, the other team just inbounds the ball.
Mm-hmm.
So there's like in lacrosse, now there's going to be like a draw on the women's side or a face-off on the men's side.
Yep.
Or if somebody scores a goal in hockey, there's a face-off in the middle.
Yeah.
But in basketball,
very fluid.
You take it and you go. And it's just like part of the game. And it's just, you know, the little pieces of games that build to bigger pieces. Do you ever really consider that on such a tiny level, or do you?
Yeah. I mean, there's one, we're trying to get our kids to understand that defensively right now, that there's one goal. And there's five guys trying to get it in that goal. And so it worries less about what your guy's doing. It's more where the ball is and in which, what's most dangerous. And I think that's true of kind of all these sports, ice hockey and lacrosse. There's so much that goes into it, but really at the grassroots level, there's one goal and everybody's trying to get the ball in that goal.
Are you a tennis player, a golfer,
yeah,
or any of those
Yeah,
things?
I was a state champion tennis player.
You were?
Jerry, I'd like
I
to know.
I did not know that.
Oh,
I know
come
you
on.
Played
I
soccer.
Won. Yeah, I won four straight. I was the individual state high school champion in tennis in the state of New Hampshire.
Wow, I didn't know that. I just
it's funny.
Something.
My mom said when we grew up, we had to have a lifetime sport, right? So you could pick golf or tennis. But now there's nobody who plays tennis. So I can play, but there's no one to play with. So I don't know what a lifetime sport is if I'm playing by myself.
You ever play squash?
I did when I was up at Dartmouth as a grad student. I played that a lot.
And golf?
Golf, I since graduated. I wish I had done that more when my parents were paying. But again, when I was at Dartmouth as a grad student and an assistant, I got into golf. And before children, I was actually playing it quite a bit.
I used to play golf all the time, and then I had kids, and I'm like, I don't have time for this.
It's hard to justify, right, if you play a round of golf. To be good at it, you're going to have to go at least 3 days a week.
And it's four hours.
Exactly. That's 12 hours a week that I just don't have away from my children.
So let's get back to basketball, and let's get back to the start of the season for your team. I did not know that about the tennis, by the way. That's good. The season starts with a big win over Ryder and then a loss to George Washington.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think going into last week, you might have figured that might be how it would play out.
Mm-hmm.
Given, you know, I'm sure you would love to get George Washington when you have a full roster, but playing with, you know, a few people who are injured. And there have been now two full games where you've gotten a chance to see your freshmen.
Mm-hmm.
You've gotten a chance to see your returning players in new roles. And do you have any just general thoughts before we get into it?
You know, it's a really coachable group. So I think it's going to be a team that for the true fan who watches over the course of a week to week, I think it could be one of the more enjoyable seasons so far, that they'll like watching the growth of this group. For those that are watching sort of a little bit from afar, there might be some questions about, you know, when are you getting certain guys back? And no doubt we'll be better when we get certain guys back, of course. But in the meantime, the players that are playing, they're totally invested in getting better. And I think that the fact of the matter is that we had a really up-tempo game against Ryder, shot the ball really well, opposite against George Washington. It was a really stagnant game. We didn't shoot the ball very well. The more unique experiences we can get in this month, will make us that much better next month, right? So I just have to be a mature coach and understand that not every win and loss is by the scoreboard.
I may have asked you this before, and I don't remember, but were you ever injured? Did you ever have to sit out for...
I didn't have to miss. I got really lucky. Nope, I didn't have to miss a college game.
So, you know, like when you see a kid like Bella who's out now, do you... Like, how do you coach a hurt kid, I guess, is the question.
Well, the cliche.
Short of the, like, you know, you have to work on your left hand, so when you come back.
Yeah, well, she was dunking. I put it on Instagram yesterday. I mean, she dunked a volleyball yesterday with her left hand. But, you know, the coach's cliche is sort of you coach the ones that are healthy. And there's a lot of truth to that. You coach the ones that are healthy, right? But the empathetic, relational coach that I am, I have great sympathy for someone like Kalea Ismail, who's a difference-making athlete and who plays the game with such joy and was healthy. Healthy when she came back this summer and really had a really great few weeks and into a month, and then is struggling a little bit with some stress reaction. So we'll get her back, but watching her have to do so much of her collegiate journey on the sideline, preparing to play is it breaks your heart, right? Outside of how important she is to our team, and then someone like Bella, she's keeping her out of practice is hard because she's just. She couldn't get closer to the court right now. She's like, you know, an inch away from the sideline. And then Taylor Bauer, who was almost a double-double. I've been telling people that she was a good player, and they'd be excited to watch her and look at her. She almost had a double-double. You were at the game, which I appreciate. That's Taylor Bauer. She plays hard. She makes a difference. And she broke a little metatarsal in her foot, so she's out for 3 to 4 weeks as well. So, you know, watching those kids have to miss a part of their finite career is heartbreaking for sure.
So, but it takes you back to the present, and you know you do have to coach the kids who are healthy.
Mm-hmm.
You've seen your 5 freshmen now for 2 games. Mm-hmm. What do you think of them?
Well, I think that they're showing their colors, and that is that they're freshmen, that they have high expectations, that they have bought into the expectation they've inherited by wearing the Princeton jersey. So they're, you know, those that played. You know, Julia Cunningham, for example, played better in game 2 than she did in game 1. I thought Greystone played better in game 1 than she did in game 2. I'm so glad they're both on our team, and they'll be even better, I'm sure, as we move forward. Kira Emspo is getting more and more healthy. She's going to play a lot tomorrow night. You know, they're all just, they're what they are. They give me so much hope, but they're also, the inconsistency of freshmen is real.
And I'm trying to think, I'm not sure, but did you have all 5 of them on the court at one time against
Multiple
Ryder?
Times.
Yeah.
So, and multiple times against GW.
And I thought it was 4, but no. It was 5. So, like, what's that like?
Yeah.
Have you ever had that before?
You start, probably not. It's funny. I guess Gabrielle Rush, after the Ryder game, I guess she said to the freshmen when we weren't in there yet, and said, gosh, if they had put our class out there at one time, we didn't get to do that until like our junior year, right? So we're at the point now, we've been injured for so long that I don't really see them as freshmen. I see them as like, these are our options, right? So if you add in Sydney Boyer and McKenna Hare, we've got 7 people who are playing a lot of minutes right now that didn't play at all last year. So it's just, it is who we are right now. And my job is to coach them in a really uncompromising way and to know that our standard is set and I've just got to get them there and they're buying into it, and I'm grateful for that.
I mean, Gabrielle Rush had an unbelievable start to that Ryder game, and you know, I was looking at the stats and I'm like, she's got 15 already, and then she's got 21 already, and you know, I think 25 points in 22 minutes. You know, the basket just looked really big for her.
Mm-hmm.
And come back against George Washington and the shooting wasn't as good, but you know, that's a pretty good start for her. And I think, you know, is she understanding that her role's changing a bit here and that she's going to be counted on for that?
Yeah, I thought she pushed a little bit too much against George Washington. I mean, any shot she takes when she's in the gym is a good shot, and I just have to keep reminding her of that. So she was kind of going a little bit more off the dribble than we needed her to do in the second game. You know, but if you look at the George Washington game, we never quite got our teeth sunk into it. And, you know, Carly was 1 for 9 from 3. Rush was 1 for 10. Sydney Jordan had 6 turnovers, and we cut it to 6, I think, in the fourth quarter. So with that being your statistic, we're playing a tough schedule, so the record isn't always going to show, but you know, our pieces are, their roles are changing, and they're learning how to do that too.
Did you see Gabrielle shooting with as much confidence on a night where it wasn't going in, or an afternoon where it wasn't going in? Because that's what Pete Carrillo also used to say, that if you're 10 for 10, or actually it was Bill Carmody said, or a million coaches have said, but if you're 10 for 10, you got to keep shooting because you're hot. If you're 0 for 10, you got to keep shooting because you're going to get hot.
Yeah.
And you have to shoot the same shot with the same confidence no matter what you're doing. Did you see that from her?
Rush, did you hear that? I hope when you hear that, you smile, because I think she would say, as she said at Media Day, she's playing for a coach that just tells her to, you know, exactly that. Shoot till you're hot, and when you're hot, keep shooting.
So the home opener comes up tomorrow night, 6 o'clock, correct?
Yeah, 6 o'clock.
Seton Hall will be here, so it's another good team.
Yeah.
Big East team. It's another opportunity to play and to get better. It's the first opportunity to play at home. Mm-hmm. So what does that mean after all the time that you've practiced? Now you finally get to play a home game.
I know. It's the only home game in the whole month, right? Yeah. So with the new scoreboard, new seat backs, and a 6 o'clock start, so hopefully helps our fan base have an earlier midweek night. You know, I hope that the comforts of Jadwin show off a little bit for our players, because any comfort for a young team is helpful. It's also really, it's an in-state rival that we have a lot of respect for, and that we kind of have an annual agreement that we're going to play right down the street in some senses, and less than an hour away. They're really different than us. They've got a lot of experience. They're really fast. They can play multiple defenses. They're physical at all spots. So they're just they're a little bit different, and they remember that we've won the last two.
I was going to say that you've had some success against them in recent
times. Yeah, no doubt. I don't think they're again, no one feels bad for the fact that we're undermanned in terms of the players that we had return. And Seton Hall is going to be one such example of people that don't feel bad for us. So we'll look forward to suiting up and seeing what version we can get tomorrow.
And what about the home court? You know, is it like, what's the biggest advantage to playing at home?
You're talking to a shooter, a former shooter.
Is it the background, shooting background? The
shooting background is a big deal. Yeah, absolutely. The lighting, the shooting background, even the floor for ball handlers. I mean, every gym has a different feel. And some like more cavernous arenas, some like smaller gyms, some like with a clear backdrop, some like with, you know, lots of different factors. But, you know, it's a sport where the home court matters. Right. I think even now the new RPI, I don't know if you've been following this, there's a new RPI in women's and men's and women's basketball. I think it's in men's this year, but we'll add to it, I think, probably next year. But it takes into consideration that any win on the road is actually worth a game in a 1.4. And any win at home is actually only worth 0.6. And so they're basically, that's how much they're valuing home court. And as we know, in women's basketball, it's not often the same size of the crowd. It's really the facility. And I would say the same in men. I mean, it's the facility matters.
Yeah, and it's hard to get, you know, if you're not a Power 5 conference team, it's sometimes hard to get teams to come here. Mm-hmm. You've had success in getting teams to come here. So beyond the Seton Hall game, then on Sunday it's the trip to Penn State, which is another good team, a Big Ten conference team. So you're going into the Power 5 conference there. So you're going Atlantic 10, Big East, Big Ten, and then it doesn't get any easier after that.
No. That then you go three in a row that not only me, but Princeton's never beaten. So yeah.
So, but let's talk about Penn State too. I mean, So it's the game is Wednesday and then Sunday. Mm-hmm. So you're used to playing Friday, Saturday.
Yeah. That's enough time. We'll give the kids off Thursday. We'll prepare Friday, Saturday. Guy Gadowski actually has a hockey game Saturday night, and I will be there. Looking forward to supporting my friend, former ice hockey coach here, who was one of the people I met.
He'll play tennis with you.
Yeah, that's right. He's someone just like Bill Tierney. Someone I met the very first week I was here.
And he'll play anything with anybody, and he'll play really hard the whole time.
I love him. He'll do anything really hard. That's what I love about him. But him and I have stayed in touch, just like Tierney and I, and I look forward to supporting him on his new turf. And I'm sure he'll be supporting us at his place the next night.
And then, you know, have you looked ahead at anything about Penn State?
I to be honest, at this time of year, partly because of who we are right now, is I'm spending about 80% of my time on my own team. And if we had a different team, maybe with a little more experience, I would maybe be at this point 60-40 or even 50-50. But right now I'm at 80-20. So I'm even today, we play Seton Hall tomorrow, and I'll be showing practice film, both offense and defense, from yesterday. And then after practice, we'll show the film on Seton Hall. We put it in their app so they have it to look at today. And then we'll show it again in the morning for shoot around. But I'm really focusing on our own group right now.
And so after the game at Penn State, the challenge then becomes the trip to Cancun. Mm-hmm. When do you actually leave?
Well, we leave Tuesday morning. And we should be fair. When we say challenge, go to Cancun. I know the listeners are not feeling bad for us there, but
the
are
teams
playing.
Teams are challenging there.
DePaul, Syracuse, who just lost by two at Oregon, who's will be a projected Final Four team, and then Kansas State. So, those will be very tough teams that, you know, that are also three games in a row with a roster that's going to have 9 or 10 playing. So a lot of challenges that we'll have to embrace.
So we're going to have to do this Monday next week.
Good. I'm off that day.
All right. So we'll come back Monday next week.
And well, you can. People
post,
don't know,
I'll post it.
You
could
post it on Tuesday.
We'll talk
we
can, on Monday.
Yeah, we have that control.
So the important thing when you do that is you have to make sure you're not saying today and tomorrow.
Oh, you guys hear that? He's giving me a week notice. I got it.
So we'll be back. You can hear it next Tuesday, but Courtney and I will talk on Monday after the games against Seton Hall. and the game against
Penn
State.
Come on, Tigers, pull them out.
It'll be the trip to Mexico, which would be exciting for everybody involved. In the meantime, the home opener is 6 o'clock tomorrow. That's Wednesday night against Seton Hall. Should be a good game. It's always a great opportunity to play a team from the Big East Conference and have them on your home court. So good luck in that one.
I appreciate it.
And thanks for being with us here today.
Enjoyed it as always.
And so for Princeton head women's basketball coach Courtney Banghart, I am Jerry Price, thanking you for listening to the Court Report and thanking you for your continued support of Princeton women's basketball.